What a privilege it is to gather together this morning and to lift our voices. Man, you sound so good. And what an encouragement it is to hear the people of God responding to the good news of who God is and what he has done. That's what we do as we worship, and that's what we do as we now turn our attention to the Word of God. So let me encourage you, if you would, to grab your Bible and join me right in the middle of the Bible in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 is where we're going to be spending some time this morning. And if you're new to Shades today, or you're joining us online and you're just checking Shades out, I just want you to know I'm new too, and really glad to be here. This is week two for me, and we're walking through a very short little series, a few different passages of scripture that the Lord has really used in my life in a very personal way at specific points along my faith journey. And so today we're in Proverbs chapter 3, a passage of scripture that has been very near and dear to my heart really for as long as I can remember. In fact, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, what we're going to read in just a moment to get started, those are the first verses that I remember memorizing as a child. Now maybe Jesus wept was right before that. Maybe John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 was right at the beginning, one of the first passages I can remember committing to memory. And so it's verses that have really just continued to ring throughout my life, throughout my faith journey, at different places along the way. These are verses that I've come back to that have really served as kind of a guiding light and a stabilizing force. And so I want us to consider Proverbs 3, beginning in verse 5 together. And I'd like to invite you, if you're willing and able, to stand with me. I know you were just seated, but if you're in the room, if you could stand back up for the reading of God's word. And the reason we're doing this, the reason we're standing for the reading of God's word, is so that we all would be reminded when we gather together as the people of God, we are gathered together standing on the word of God. It is the word of God that is our foundation. It's not the opinions of men. It's not something that somebody else tells us we're supposed to believe. The word of God is the foundation for the people of God. And the word of God lays before the people of God what God says is right and good and true. So we stand on this firm foundation of the Holy Scripture. And the word of God says this: trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. With all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Today's message is all about trust. Where are we placing our trust? Before I pray, just turn to your neighbor and say, you need to hear this. Do that now. You need to hear this. You need to hear this. All right, let's have a word of prayer together, and then we'll be seated. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to turn to your word collectively. And I believe, Lord, in faith, that as we turn collectively to your word, you have something to say to us as your people, and you have something to say to us individually as we seek to understand with greater clarity the good news of what you have made available to us through Jesus Christ. So Lord, use this time for your glory. Speak into our lives what we need to hear. We commit this time to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. If you are new to Bible study, or perhaps if you're new to church or coming back to church for the first time in a while, or maybe joining online, just checking things out, the book of Proverbs in the Bible is often referred to as the book of wisdom. Now granted, all of the word of God lays before us the wisdom of God. But the Proverbs lay before us this very practical wisdom that helps us understand the ways of God, but then also invites us in a very practical way to know how to live out the wisdom of God. The Proverbs were written by King Solomon. Solomon was the son of King David, and Solomon was reigning and ruling the nation of Israel, the people of God, at one of its greatest seasons of wealth and prosperity and prestige and influence. Solomon was the king when things were going really, really well for the majority of his reign. He was called the wisest man who ever lived. He had everything that the world had to offer. And this man of great power and prominence and prestige had come to understand that with all the world had to offer at his fingertips, the greatest thing that he could lay hold of was the wisdom of God. And so he's writing these Proverbs to his son. As a father who wants to impart wisdom to the next generation, and as he imparts wisdom to the next generation, he is speaking divinely through the Spirit to the people of God. And what we see here is an invitation in Proverbs 3 that has been called the foundation for all of the Proverbs, to trust in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord in all that you do, in every decision you make, in all of your ways. And the scripture says, as you do, as you trust in the Lord, he will make straight your paths. And here's the reality. This call is simple. It's not hard to understand. You don't have to know a lot about the Bible to understand this statement, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. But if we have any integrity at all, for those who've been in the church a long time, for those who've been in the faith for many years, if we have any integrity at all, we would collectively say, while it is easy to understand this call to trust in the Lord, and it's easy to say, yes, I'm trusting in the Lord, it's actually very challenging to live this out. To trust in the Lord with all of our heart, because if we're going to do this, it's definitely going to require faith. Faith requires that we follow. Following requires we let go of control. Control is something we want to hold. And so to trust in the Lord with all of our heart is a clear invitation, but a challenging invitation to stop and consider, where am I truly placing my trust? Whose ways am I following? Whose wisdom am I believing? The good news for us today is that Proverbs 3 gives us a very clear pathway into how we can understand what does it really mean to live this out. What does it mean to put all of your trust in the Lord? How can we acknowledge him in all of our ways? We're going to go on a little journey through Proverbs 3 to see the practical guidelines or guardrails that the scripture gives the people of God to understand. Here's how you live a life placing your trust in the Lord. So let's begin this journey in verse 7 as the scripture continues. After those great verses, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, we come to verse 7 and it says this: be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. I believe this is very intentional, that after the call and invitation to put all of your trust in the Lord, Solomon, in his divinely inspired wisdom, immediately says, here's a way that you can know if you're trusting in the Lord. Be not wise in your own eyes. What does that mean? What does that have to do with trusting the Lord? Well, simply this. It means we are willing to acknowledge how quickly our hearts can wander. Are you willing to acknowledge how quickly your heart can wander. Are you willing to acknowledge how easily your own heart can deceive you? How quickly we begin to trust in our wisdom above all else, including the wisdom of God? How quickly we can believe that we know better than God what is best for our lives. The prophet Jeremiah speaks to this. In Jeremiah 17, verse 9, we see this statement: the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I don't know about you, but when you first hear a statement like that, be not wise in your own eyes, your heart is deceitful, you so quickly can wander, it might kind of catch you off guard. And you say, now hold on, I'm a good person. I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm trying to live the right way. I know what's best. After all, we live in a culture that is constantly screaming out to us, just believe in yourself. Follow your heart. Find your way. It'll all work out. Just trust in yourself and the goodness of your own heart. The Word of God says, if you really knew your heart, you would know the heart is deceitful above all else. You see, the problem with living with the mentality, just follow your heart, just believe in yourself, just trust in yourself, is no one is better at deceiving you than you. No one has told you more lies than you have told yourself. We desperately need a wisdom that does not come from inside, that does not come from ourselves. We need a wisdom that is higher than what we see. We need a wisdom that sees more than what we can even understand. We need the wisdom of God. For you see, your heart, my heart, if left unchecked, will elevate other things to the place that only God should occupy in our lives. Your heart, my heart, will lead us to believe that things are acceptable that God says are unacceptable. Your heart and my heart will lead us to believe there are things that are true that God's word actually says, no, that's not true. Your heart, my heart, will lead us to believe there are things that are good, our culture says are good, that actually God says, no, that's not good at all. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Be not wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord. Trust in the Lord. The way you trust in the Lord is to acknowledge how quickly your heart can wander. Have you ever wondered why there's so many people that claim to be Christians and yet live lives that don't seem to line up with the Word of God at all? Why is that? It's because the heart is deceitful and desperately sick. It's one thing to say, yeah, I'm a Christian. It's another thing altogether to say, I will trust in the Lord with all of my heart, and I will allow my heart to come in line with His heart. I will allow my wisdom to actually be subjected to His wisdom, and I will trust Him above even trusting myself. That's the wisdom of God. Will we trust in the Lord with all of our hearts, acknowledging how quickly our hearts can wander? I came across this quote this week that was very helpful to me in my preparation from Pastor Timothy Keller, theologian, author, writer. He says this: though we recognize and embrace the principle of the gospel, our hearts are constantly trying to return to the mode of self-salvation. By seeking other ways to save ourselves, we fall prey to pride, spiritual deadness, and strife. How quickly our hearts can wander, even in the church. How quickly our hearts can deceive us to believe that we actually can save ourselves. We're actually okay in and of ourselves. We actually can figure this out on our own. We're good to go. We don't need any other wisdom, even the wisdom of God. But the reality is, it is God's wisdom. It is God's wisdom that we desperately need. Your heart will wander, my heart will wander, and trusting in the Lord is acknowledging this reality so that we can return to what is right, good, and true, the wisdom of God. But then we continue in the text today, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. What does it mean to trust in the Lord with all of our heart? We see something else. It says this, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Let's get very practical here. The word of God says, how do we practically put our trust in the Lord with all of our heart? You refuse to allow your heart to be captured by the things of this world. Now, this is probably going to talk to somebody. All right, this is one of those moments where it may get on your toes a little bit, may get up in your nose a little bit, okay? This is one of those passages, one of those topics that challenges us. Because for so many of us, it's the things of this world that actually have captured our heart. For so many of us, it's the things of this world that actually lead us to live the way we live and make the decisions that we make. The wisdom of God, trusting in the Lord with all of our hearts, says, no, I will refuse to allow my heart to be captured by the things of this world. I know what some of y'all are thinking, man, it's only 2 weeks in and the new guy's already talking about money. This is crazy. But here's the reality. I believe this is a beautiful invitation that God gives us in his word. For God knows the heart. He knows our heart better than we know our own heart. And he knows how quickly our hearts can make an idol out of something good and make it ultimate over and above him. And we can begin to follow that idol instead of trusting in him. And so he says, let me help you because I love you. I want to help you. I want to help free up your heart. And so I'm going to invite you to live a generous life. I'm going to invite you to be a giver. In fact, I'm going to call you as my people to tithe, to give 10% of your income right off the top back to the Lord just to keep your heart in check. For giving's always a heart issue. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also, and so God says to you, I want to lay out this principle that's going to help set you free. Listen, God doesn't call you to tithe. God doesn't call you to live generously because he needs your money. He's God. He calls you to tithe because he desires your heart and he wants you to be free. And so he says, just from the very beginning, let me just invite you, put your trust in me with your resources, because that's going to be tough. That's going to be tough. Your heart's going to pull in a lot of different directions. Let me invite you, go ahead, begin this journey of giving, tithing faithfully, so that you will see that I am the one who controls the cattle on 1,000 hills. I am the one who makes provision for your life. You can trust me, including with the resources that you cling to so tightly. To put your trust in the Lord is to refuse to allow your heart to be captured by the things of this world. Can I just tell you very practically how this continues to play out in our household? Just this past week, Megan and I were having a conversation about the impending college tuition that's coming into our household in the next year. We're not sure where McKenna's going to go, but she's in the application process right now. And so we know college tuition is coming. And we also know that when college tuition begins next year for our family, a domino will fall. And when that domino falls, for at least the next 12 years, if all of our kids go to college, we will be paying college tuition in some form or fashion. That's insane. That's crazy. Why, Lord, did we do this to ourselves? And so we were talking this week about how, hey, yeah, there's stuff saved, and yeah, we're going to do the best we can, but can I be honest, on paper, it just doesn't add up. I'm not sure how we're going to do it. And there's a little tiny, tiny part of my mind that says, you know, there's this portion of money over there that you've set aside to give. I know you've made that commitment. You've made that commitment to give at least a tithe or more than a tithe every year of your marriage. This is something that we've committed to. It's sitting right there. You know, if you could just grab some of that, just for the next year, just grab some of that, put it over here. It would sure add up on paper a little better. It'd make things a little bit easier. The question is, where's our trust? And then my mind goes back to 20 years ago when Megan and I walked down an aisle to be married. And shortly before we walked down that aisle and committed to one another before God and the witnesses that were there, we had had a conversation about finances and about giving. It was during our premarital counseling time, which was led by my dad. That was a little awkward, but still very beneficial. And we made the commitment 20 years ago, before we walked down the aisle, we are going to give at least 10% off the top of every dollar we ever make. That first year of marriage, we made $17,000. I mean, money! No, I promise you, when you make $17,000 of combined income pre-tax, every dollar matters, right? But we gave 10% joyfully and saw God provide in ways that were beyond what we could imagine. And at different places along the journey over the last 20 years, there have been many times where something unexpected would happen financially and we're going, how in the world are we going to be able to cover this? How in the world? We can't afford this. We're not going to be able to do this, but let's continue to trust in the Lord. Let's continue to honor the Lord from the first fruits right off the top. Let's continue to believe God at his word. And here's my testimony for 20 years. Every time God has been faithful. Every time God has provided more than we could have imagined. And I'm not just talking about material things. I'm talking about peace. I'm talking about freedom. I'm talking about seeing him as the one in control. And it's been a great blessing. And so back to the college tuition thing, I don't know how it's going to happen. I mean, we're going to do the best we can, but I do know this. We're going to continue to honor the Lord from the first fruits. We're going to continue to give over and above a tithe. We're going to trust in the Lord, and I know he's going to be faithful. Somehow, this will work out. I don't know how, but somehow. Because the Lord is worthy of our trust. He invites us to put our trust in him even in the areas of our life where we so often cling to control and think we know better than him. To trust in the Lord with all of your heart is to refuse to allow your heart to be captured by the things of this world. Will you trust him? And then we go back to the text for today. And this is our final point, the final thought of this message. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. What does it mean to put our trust in the Lord, to trust him with all of our heart? The scripture says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves him whom he loves as the father, the son in whom he delights." How do you trust in the Lord with all of your heart? Well, this is going to take us into the deep end of the pool, for this is challenging. But the scripture is inviting us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart by believing that the discipline of God is actually evidence of the love of God. The discipline of God that is so hard and so challenging and at times so painful to experience is actually evidence of a God who loves us. Will we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, even when the discipline of God comes into our lives? For the Lord reproves, the scripture says, him whom he loves. What does that mean? Well, here's what that means through the lens of the gospel. That means that when God looks at your life, please do not miss this. When God looks at your life, the word of God is saying God's love for you is so great that he meets you right where you are and loves you just the way you are. Okay? That's what the word of God says. He meets you right where you are and loves you just the way you are, but it doesn't end there. God's love for you is so great that as he meets you where you are and loves you just the way you are, he refuses to leave you right where you are and refuses to leave you just the way you are. He invites you into something greater. He calls you into something more. God is passionate about your growth. And yet at times, the only way we grow is through that struggle. It's through that difficulty. It's through that thing being revealed that we've been trying to ignore. It's through that blind spot being exposed in a way that we now have to trust in the Lord. The discipline of God is very challenging. Some of y'all are walking through a season of discipline right now. Some of you have had things revealed in your life that are very hard to wrestle with. Some of you are walking through some struggle right now and you're not really sure if God's even in it. Please hear this. He loves you as you are, and he loves you too much to leave you as you are. And so he brings his discipline into our lives that we will see ourselves so that then we can see him. He wants us to see who we really are, that heart that is deceitful above all things, so that we can see what he's really done to meet us in our need, to love us in our need, to cover us in his grace and his mercy. This is the big theological word or church word that we call sanctification. This process of growth, this invitation into deeper faith to become more like Christ. But to become more like Christ, to grow in our faith, there are struggles. There are things that need to be dealt with, things that need to be revealed, things that need to be laid at the foot of the cross. But as we grow, seeing our need and seeing what God has done to meet us in our need, we grow in gratitude, we grow in worship, we see the incredible love of God. For it is the discipline of God that points to the evidence of God's love for us, the Father bringing discipline to the Son in whom he delights. The writer of Hebrews says it this way as it reminds us how challenging discipline can be. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 says, "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by this." What does this mean? Well, parents, I think you can probably relate to this. The writer of Hebrews is saying, hey, you know those times when you bring discipline into your children's lives? This is certainly how it's been in my household, at least. There's never been a time when my kids have looked up at me and said, "Dad, thank you for loving me so much that you've brought this discipline into my life. I'm going to be better for it. I know I am. I trust you, Dad. You're so wise. You're so loving. You're so kind. I needed this discipline. I couldn't see it. There was a blind spot there, and you revealed it. Thank you, Dad." please help me out here. I'm not the only one, right? No, the reality is every time that discipline is brought into our children's lives, they push back. They don't like it. It's uncomfortable. Every time discipline is brought into our kids' lives, there's a reaction, sometimes tears, sometimes life's unfair, sometimes how could you do this to me, sometimes you don't understand. But it's always for their good. And it's our prayer as parents that someday down the road there will be fruit of that discipline that will grow. The Lord brings discipline into our lives, then the moment can be challenging, it can be painful, but the scripture says if we will trust him with all of our heart, the discipline of the Lord that reveals his love will yield to a harvest of righteousness, growth in the things of God, as we trust him with our heart. The writer of Hebrews goes on to say, so therefore, verse 12, therefore lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather healed. Now, here the writer of Hebrews is doing a great thing for us, the reader, and he's saying, let me draw your attention to a medical procedure. Let me call to mind what takes place when there is some kind of operation, some kind of surgery. In the moment, it is painful, but that surgery is helpful long term. It is beneficial. It corrects what is lame so that you can walk again. It helps heal what has been out of joint so that you could potentially run again. This feels very real to our family right now. In fact, tomorrow morning, our oldest son, Brody, who's our ninth grader at Hoover, he will be having knee surgery. He's had a football injury. It's an injury that's kind of been a struggle for a while, and it's gotten worse and worse. And so tomorrow, he's going to have surgery because, after all, we really don't have anything going on in our lives. And so we figured, why not just throw in a knee surgery? You know, I mean, that's a joke. You can laugh at that. It's not Brody's fault. He didn't do this on purpose. But here's the deal. For a ninth grader and a ninth grader's parents, when our son's about to have surgery, that's hard. And he knows, he's been through some of this before, he knows it's not going to be easy. In fact, it's going to be painful. There's going to be a struggle. But on the other side of that struggle, if the surgery goes well, which we would love your prayers there, on the other side of that struggle, there is opportunity for healing, and there is actually opportunity for that knee to be stronger than it was before. You see, the discipline of God is the master surgeon, knowing what needs to be realigned, knowing what needs to be repaired, knowing what needs to be reconciled, revealing in our lives, here's where some surgery needs to happen. I know it's not going to be easy. I know it's going to be a little painful. I know you may even be resistant, but if you will trust me, there will be a harvest of growth in the faithfulness of God. It will take you to a place that is greater than you've ever been. So will we trust him? Will we trust in the Lord with all of our heart? Will we acknowledge how easily our heart can wander and trust in his perfect heart that never wanders? Will we trust him with our resources and refuse to allow the things of this world to capture our heart, believing that God's way really is the best way for our lives, and he wants our heart to be free? Will we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, believing that God's discipline is actually evidence of his love? That yes, it's challenging, But he wants to invite us into something new. He wants to invite us into something more, something greater, if we will just trust him. Let me just ask you today, what is it in your life that you need to bring before the Lord to trust him? What area of your life do you need to trust in the Lord so that you can trust in the Lord with all of your heart? What is it perhaps that you've just been clinging on to so tightly, refusing to let go of control, and you know the Lord is nudging you and prompting you, saying, you can trust me there. Perhaps you're here this morning and you're really at a crossroads. This is something that often happens at a crossroads, where there's a decision to be made, where we're not sure what to do. There's unknown, there's uncertainty, and you may be going, I don't understand why God just doesn't make it clear. You're looking for some direction. You're looking for what to do or how to do it. Well, perhaps, just perhaps, God has shown you everything he's going to show you until you take that step of faith. And please hear this. It's not God holding out on you. It's God inviting you to see how faithful he truly is. So perhaps there's a step of faith that God's been prompting you to take. You haven't taken that step of faith and you're going, I don't understand why he just doesn't show me what's next. And God is inviting you today to put your trust in him, so that when you step, you will then see exactly what he wants you to see. What do you need to trust to the Lord? What in your life needs to be brought to the Lord that you can trust in him with all of your heart? As you think about that, we want to give you just a moment to process that before the Lord. And so I just want to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes with me. I want to pray in just a moment, but just go before the Lord right now. Is there anything that needs to be laid before the Lord? Is there any area of your life that you've been holding on to that the Lord is saying, okay, you can trust me there. Trust me. Trust me with all of your heart. Heavenly Father, we are so challenged and at the same time so grateful as we consider your word. This call to trust, this call to faith, to put our heart, all of our heart, into your hands. It's a simple call, but it's a challenging call. And so, Lord, I just pray, whatever it is that needs to be brought before you today, I pray that you would give us the faith to believe you at your word, that we would trust in the Lord with all of our heart, that we would lay down whatever it may be that we've been trying to control, whatever we've been trying to manipulate, however we've been trying to even save ourselves instead of trusting in you. Lord, I pray that you would give us the faith to acknowledge how quickly our hearts can wander and to return to you in trust, opening our hands, saying, Jesus, we're ready to follow in faith. Maybe you're here today needing to do that for the first time. Or maybe you're online and you're joining in and you're not really sure where you are in your relationship with the Lord. Maybe you've got a lot of questions and you're trying to figure out, is this really what I believe? And God is inviting you today to put your trust in him, to see Jesus for who he is and what he's done, the Savior that is offering you salvation through his death on the cross and the power of his resurrection. Will you trust him? For he wants you to experience a heart that is set free. He wants you to know the joy of sin forgiven. He wants you to know the gift of shame that is covered by grace. Will you trust in the Lord with all of your heart? Oh, Jesus, how grateful we are for the gift of salvation you provide. We pray for everyone here today who is laying something before you, and we pray for those specifically who are at that place where you're prompting them to step out on faith and believe that you, in fact, are the gift of salvation they have longed for. Lord, give them the faith to trust in you. We celebrate what you're doing. We're grateful for new life. Thank you, Jesus, for setting us free. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hey, we're going to respond singing together. I just want to invite you to stand with us as we lift our voices in light of what God has laid before us in his word.